The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
AM 970 presents Eye on Real Estate. This is your premier source for real estate information. From the hot properties in the tri-state to the latest in real estate market trends. From mortgage news to answers to all of your real estate questions, you'll be in the know with help from the experts. Call now, 866-970-9622. 866-970-9622. Now, here's your host for Eye on Real Estate, Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and you're listening to Eye on Real Estate. I'm here with Ace Wadasuparb, and here with Jerry Feeney, and we were doing. We're going to have our credit expert in 2 seconds, Dan Sater. Just want to finish up with one more question. We believe that we talked about the co-ops. And by the way, to Elizabeth, I think that's the best thing you can do in a very nice way. You don't want to get them set. Just say, so I have a better feel. Was it their credit? Did they have enough cash? What is it that you really, so that I know what you're looking for and I can help you find the right person for this building or something of that nature. And that's kind of the downside of co-ops, but not all of them are as strict as others. And maybe if you are thinking of selling your co-op, it might be a wise thing to do before you sell it. Talk to the board and see what they're looking for. I have another question from Roberta in Rockaway. We are looking for a house and found one that was there and it had a leak in the roof that looks like it was poorly repaired. Do we have the right to bill the seller for the repair of the roof after we buy it? No.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, no. No. Not unless there was some kind of a warranty in place or whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, you should have – look, you don't have to do this in an apartment, but in a house. I would tell anybody who's buying a house, a single, a two-family, whatever, have an engineer's report done before you go to contract.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's things that you cannot see. And an engineer's report is never going to be perfect. There's always going to be. So the question that you ask, and if you can, you should meet the engineer and go through the house with them. And the question you need to ask the engineer is, for the age of this home, how is it? How does it compare for the age of this home? Because it's not going to have, if it's a 50-year-old home, it might not have some of the bells and whistles that something that's new going to have.
Yeah.
But you just say for the age of the home. And then if they say there's a problem with the roof, well, how many years does it have? How much is that going to cost? So you're always better off if you can meet the engineer yourself. Because if you just read the report.
It's scary.
Yes, even a brand new home would sound scary.
Yeah.
Did you get one on your house, Jerry?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I knew the inspector very well because I'd worked with him before, and I was not able to take my own advice and do the inspection with him because of the timeline. But when I got the report, I thought, oh my God, this thing is a mess. It's falling apart. I called him up, and he says, yeah, it's in really good condition. when you get there, the report is oftentimes to deter future litigation, so they make sure that they've covered themselves. But you also can't get bogged down. They might spend a whole page on a GFI outlet, and you ask them how much it is to fix. Oh, it's $50. Well, that was a whole page in the report. It's $50 item. You don't want to get bogged down on that.
Yeah, so that's a must, okay? But to answer your question, if you did not discuss what was wrong with the house and make an allowance for somebody to pay for it ahead of time. You can move into the house. Once you move in and you take ownership, the house could fall to the ground and collapse.
Yeah.
And just stop.
Enjoy home ownership, exactly.
So it's really a good thing and not a good thing. It's, in my book, an absolutely must to have an engineer's report before you purchase a property. In a building, you don't have to do that, obviously, because you can't do that in a building.
It's not as important. Yeah, sometimes we see people do it, but...
Do you see people do it in buildings?
Yeah, more and more. It's very interesting. In apartments now, I'm seeing more and more people do it. And, you know, I used to say it's really not at all necessary. Now I say to people, listen, you know, it can be useful. It can be a useful tool. I still don't think it's absolutely necessary, but I think it's has a place in certain
apartments,
particularly if there's been a renovation.
Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
Would it be like if you're moving into a building and let's say you have an engineer's report, they'll let you do the engineer's report on the whole building or
no.
just your apartment?
Yeah, just generally just the apartment. They're usually not going to give you access to any of the
Because if you knew with the building, that would be helpful because then you might know, gee, the building is really needs a lot of repairs that you don't know about.
But that report on a big building could be $50,000, you know,
right.
doing a comprehensive
So what
analysis.
Would you find that in your own apartment? Like,
well, they'll find out things like that the electrical panels are miswired or that they're not sufficient, you know, amperage to support what's in the apartment or that, you know, there are issues with some of the, you know, the heating elements in the apartment. Not that much. They can't really rip apart the walls. You know, there's only so much you can see within the four corners of an apartment.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So would you... Do you recommend it, or do you?
Not usually.
Maybe if it's an old building, or maybe an old.
Here's
apartment?
What I do on new construction. I say, particularly on a higher priced new construction, I say to people, listen, unless you have a really good broker coming with you on the final walkthrough, and a lot of the sponsors don't want the broker to come now, and I really resist this. I think it's outrageous. Bring your broker with you because they know how to do a walkthrough of a new construction apartment, which is a different. Animal entirely. I've had some people bring architects. I say, read the offering plan of the description of what's supposed to have been built, bring an architect with you, and let them tell you, was it built in compliance with this? It's amazing how many times the architect comes in and says, you know, the ceilings are supposed to be 9.5 feet high, and they're actually 9 feet 2 inches or something like that. You know, and they can really find things that
and if they find something like that, I mean, then you would have recourse. Well, you wouldn't have recourse. You could maybe say take something off, or
sometimes we can negotiate a price reduction, or if there's a retrofit possible. I mean, raising the ceiling height is not possible, but other things are. You know, I think that's valuable. A very good broker who's experienced can do the same thing. But, you know, if you've never done a new construction walkthrough, you're buying a new product there. You've got to go and test every single thing and make sure that every single thing is in working condition, because once you buy it, it's yours and the sponsor is not going
to
fix it.
You know, I'm glad to know that, because I always recommend, I insist on people having an engineer's report on a home, but you're saying on the newer apartments just to make sure it's to the specifications they've said, because truthfully, if the ceiling is supposed to be 11 feet, you're not going to know if it's 10 point something.
Exactly. You're not going to know. By the way, before you get to Dan Sater, I have an important update that, you know, I don't know if you eat Hershey's Kisses. It's like my favorite candy.
Oh, I remember the silver foil, the little kisses.
Yeah, silver foil wrapper. Well, there's been a mystery going on for the last couple of months, and I noticed it when I went to eat one recently in a package that I bought, that the tip is missing. You know, they used to have a nice conic. Of the kiss, they had a nice conical shape, but it came to a little tip, and sometimes
yes.
it would sort of bend over a little bit slightly, and it was their image. And they were missing. There was no more tip on it. It would sort of end, and then it would have a flat surface on top.
Did you think they were defective kisses?
But how would that look if it's flat?
Did you think they were defective
they
kisses?
They were, in fact, Dottie, defective kisses. Hershey's has announced yesterday that due to a manufacturing process problem, that the kiss was not formed properly. Now, can you imagine, like, this huge company hadn't even noticed this in the manufacturing process. The consumers
had to say,
what's
going on? And it's Valentine's Day soon, and, you know.
It's not going to be done in time for Valentine's Day.
Awesome.
So if you're looking for a kiss on Valentine's Day, buy them an apartment instead, because the kisses are defective.
I think that's... you know what? I don't think your girlfriends will forgive you. I think they'll forgive you very easily and say, oh, I'll skip the kiss. I'll take the apartment. It's okay. But that's good to know, because, you know, I love those little kisses.
Yeah.
And if I would have opened one, I would have thought it was defective. That's what I would have thought. Something's wrong with this kiss.
It's interesting. Go buy one today and you'll see what I mean.
I will. So we're you're listening to Ion Real Estate, and I'm here with Dan Sater, our credit expert. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Dottie. How are you?
I'm good. I actually have the flu, but I think, you know, as I'm talking through it, you know, you kind of forget your – sometimes it's better than lying in bed, so you get your mind off your pain. But I'm on a Z-Pak, so I'm feeling a little better today, thank goodness.
And eat some of the candy kisses. That'll help, too.
The defective candy.
The defective ones.
Yeah, they're one of the basic food groups.
Okay. Will do. So what's new in the credit world?
Oh, what isn't new? Well, recently there was an article about, I think it was in the New York Times, about them ending the credit locks that they were giving out for free with Equifax. They're going to be expiring at the end of January. And, you know, this is to prevent people from opening fraudulent accounts or from creditors obtaining your credit report without your knowledge. And the thing is, who cares? And the reason I say that, because the credit lock is the way that the credit bureaus have monetized the security freeze. It's the same thing. They're freezing your account, and they're charging you for it now at the rate of $24.99.
Wait, excuse me. Can you help me with that? When you say they're freezing your account, do I have to ask for that to happen, or does it happen automatically?
Well, you have to apply for it.
And why would I apply
to fill it out?
Okay, wait, stop. Why would I apply to have my account frozen?
You have your credit report frozen.
And
what that does.
Why would I do that?
That's to prevent somebody from going in and applying for credit, and they run a credit report, and they see that you have great credit, and they grant the credit in your name to somebody else.
Wait, stop.
So you close it down.
Okay.
You're locking it so no one else can steal your credit.
Okay, so stop. Let me ask you this question. For the average person, including myself, is that something that we should be doing?
Well, it's probably advisable. Depends what, you know, how much you check your credit on a continual basis. But because of the massive security breaches, not only with Equifax, but, you know, Yahoo and a lot of these other places where they've gotten people's Social Security numbers, date of birth, all this other information, there is that possibility that somebody's going to use it for nefarious reasons, and this stops them from going into your account or going into your credit reports and opening up a new account because they can't access that. So nobody's going to grant credit without looking at your credit report first.
Okay, and what's the downside? What's the downside of that? Is there a downside of that? Like if I call up and freeze my credit, is there a downside to doing that?
Well, there used to be, but no more. Because of this massive data breach, they made it so that the credit bureaus have to give you a security freeze now for free. And you can open it up for free. You can close it back down for free. So anytime you have a creditor that wants to run your credit report, you just unfreeze it so they can take access and then refreeze it so nobody else can get access.
Well, stop, because I think this is really important information, which I didn't know about. So let me ask you this. So who would you ask to do that?
The three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax.
And so would you email them? How would you notify them?
Yeah, well, you can go online, and on their sites, they have a place where you can do the security freeze. It's a little simple one-page form that you put in the information. They'll sign you up, give you a PIN number, and it's with that PIN number, which you should protect, that you can get back in and unlock it for any creditor that you're going to have.
And what happens if you lose the PIN or forget the PIN? You know, I just want you to know something. I mean, this is not funny. I think this is a problem. My assistant gave me about 67 passwords, okay? And if you think I could remember, I said, what do you think? I'm some kind of a genius or something? I can't remember any of them. So then the next assistant I had was a genius and put it in my contact list, passwords, under passwords, okay?
Under passwords.
Oh, yes, under passwords. Okay, and then my only hope is, well, if they rob me, they'll figure no one's that stupid to put it under passwords. Okay, then the next one, I mean, I really need to get a grasp on this. How many passwords and PIN numbers and this, and you should you have something for every different one for every account, that every time I go on, I have to say, even to use my television, okay, what's this number, what's that number, what's your account here, and then I have an account, I have maybe RCN in the city, then I have maybe cable and Long Island. I mean, How is anyone supposed to do this?
And if you mistype it, you have to create a whole brand new password. So you have passwords on top of passwords. Of course, a lot of my things when I do on the mobile phone, I use the fingerprint identification, which makes it a little easier.
But let me ask you, what should the look? I mean, I know I'm supposed to change it every whatever. I don't, but I should. And what it is there's so many of them, and half of them I don't remember. I mean, even to, like, you know, I'll send out cards and things of that nature. Everything has a password, even if it's something that you don't care if somebody steals. You want to send out a card in my name? Send it out. I don't really care. But, I mean, how often should you change them, and how many can you remember?
Well, there's no way you can remember them. You either have to have them written down somewheres, or if you have a service like Norton Antivirus, they do have a service where they will maintain all your passwords and your login information so you can access it at any time.
Okay. So does anyone have a system that they like, that they use?
I mean, write it down on a piece of paper and put it in my drawer.
Yeah, we're old-fashioned that way.
Well, see, I don't, because when I have my iPad or my iPhone, it's usually they're asking me a question. I'm like, okay, what the heck is the password for that? Then I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, okay, oh, no, I changed that. So you don't, and aren't there programs, I mean, I think I have one of them that I have on my iPhone that you put passwords. It's called Password Keeper or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are those okay? Or you don't think they're too safe either?
But my fear of those is if somebody breaks into that, then they've got access to all your accounts. I don't get it. I've talked to technology people, and I can't get a satisfactory answer. Why is the industry not moving to biometrics? Apple uses the thumbprint and the face recognition. That seems to be very secure. But for computers on your desk, still the old-fashioned password thing, which we were doing 30 years ago.
I know.
Why don't they use face recognition on the computer so that, you know, it can face recognition together with, you know, retinal scan is readily available technology. Then you don't have to worry about all this nonsense with passwords. It's great. And they all have different criteria. You know, use two capital letters.
Oh, I know. I know.
Three unusual symbols.
Special symbols, at least 8 characters.
And then you finally come up with one.
And it's gone.
You got one.
It's
and
taken.
You've used it in the last 60 days, so you can't use that one again. It's 20 minutes to get in, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so is there any quick solution? No.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. Just wondering, because it really is, it's cumbersome. I mean, it's cumbersome. And every time I don't watch television often, but every time that I do put something on, and I've been sick, so I have it. What's your this? What's your password? What's your account number? God, give me a break.
I'm always calling Lee. We use the same.
Yes,
we use the same audiovisual.
How about Lee?
Lee, 11 o'clock at
night. Like, you know my account numbers, Lee.
I can't watch Showtime.
Yes, same thing happened to me, Jerry. I was always on Showtime. Crazy. All of a sudden, they locked me out and said, what's your password? What's this? Yeah. I'm like, but I've had it for 5 years. Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They want it again.
Yes.
No, and if you get caught up in a show that's on only Showtime, like I've been watching Escape at Dannemora, which, oh my God, is it good.
Is it?
This is a really good one. Yeah, it's about those prisoners that escaped with the help of that woman in upstate New York.
Oh, I think I watched that, yes.
Oh, it's really good, yeah. So I got caught up in that, and then I come up here for the weekend, and now I can't get on Showtime. And I'm afraid to call Lee because I feel like I bother him all the time.
Listen, we both use Lee. And, like, I'm sorry.
If he can handle the two of us, he's got the patience.
He's
unflappable, this guy. I mean, he's just so calm. And
yes, opposite of us, so I'm freaking out. I was having 4th of July at my house. This was obviously more than 3 years ago since my house has been on the renovation that long. And it's before the party, and the thing isn't working, the system. I'm like, Lee, listen, I'm having all these people come over, and I have to have music. I can't have no music, and this is not working. Sure enough, he sent somebody over, and we got it working.
Having a dinner party. They're coming in 10 minutes. The music won't start.
Yeah. So anyhow, Dan, what else? So you're saying that we can do that. Do you recommend? I know, but do you recommend that people do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend worrying about the credit lock that they have. that's going to be for, you know, $25. But a security freeze, your rights are defined by law, where the credit lock is defined by the credit bureaus. So you have a lot more protection with a security freeze, and the price is right for free. All you have to do is remember that PIN number.
Okay. I think we have a short show today. So I think we have it a little shorter. We still have a little time. We'll be right back after the break.
It's Eye on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back. We were talking to Dan, and I didn't realize we have a short show today. So I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get through with some of the other questions that I had. But Dan, so you recommend people do that. And I think when you come on again, you should remind us because it's not something I would have thought to do. And now I'm going to try to remember to do it and freeze my credit. So how do you... when you say somebody asked me what credit card grace period is and what does that mean and how does it help or harm you in the long run?
Well, a credit card grace period is the time that they give you once you receive the bill, how many days you have before it has to be paid. And basically, when you get that, it gives you... Well, it's supposed to give you about 3 weeks, but I think it gives you a little bit less time by the time you actually get your bill that you have to pay that bill.
Well, let me ask you, Dan, if you, let's say you know that you're going to be a little bit late and you call them and you say, listen, or, you know, it happened to me where I forgot to mail the bill, okay? Could you think, does it not always work, but just sometimes if you send it in a couple of days late, you think they'll, you know, be okay with it?
Well, there's two parts to this. One, if you send it in late, they're probably going to hit you with like a $35 late fee. But they will not hit you with a 30-day late payment on your credit report.
Which is more
important. It almost has to be on the due date of the next monthly payment. If you don't have it paid by that date, you'll be reported 30 days late. So if you normally pay, if it, your pay date is the 15th, for example, of January, if you didn't pay it then, you have until literally the 15th of the following month before they'll report a 30-day late. So what you're subject to is a little fine, in effect, not necessarily a damage to your credit.
Well, a fine is not great, but better than the damage to your credit. So, Dan, what's new in the credit world? Anything? Or what do you think is important? What do you feel is one of the most, you know, what you feel is important for consumers? And, well, again, you don't have to be buying a house because it has nothing to do with credit. Rules your life today. I mean, credit, it has, you know, it is the most important thing that you can have besides for your health, okay? So what should people be doing and what do you think is most important or besides for looking at their credit scores to make sure there's no mistake or somebody, they didn't make mistakes? What do you see?
That's always my first recommendation is you should always be reviewing your credit reports because mistakes can come on there, accounts that aren't yours can come on there, and even fraudulent accounts can come on there. But there's a new thing coming up now in debt collection, and this is really something that's going to start affecting all sorts of credit in the future, mm-hmm. which is artificial intelligence. There's a new sheriff in town. Its name is NLP Logic.
NLP Logic.
Yep.
And he's the new sheriff?
Yeah, because what they're doing is they've developed machine learning, advances in artificial intelligence that give debt recovery companies the opportunity to increase their collections by up to 5 to 7% on a per account basis.
And how do they do that?
Well, what it does is it uses the specific debt recovery company's historical transaction data to train an algorithm to score individual accounts on their probability that they would pay. This allows them
Slow down. I know we don't have much time, but slow down. So in other words, I'm going to have artificial intelligence
watching you.
Watching me, and they're going to single out who is who I likely will get paid from?
Well, what this is that if a collection agency has 10,000 accounts, they can't necessarily go after all 10,000 of them.
Right.
But what they want is, you know, it's a Jerry Maguire movie. Show me the money. That's all they care about.
Right.
So they want to be able to go after the people that will pay them. And this algorithm helps them predict which people have a higher probability of them getting money from. And this algorithm is designed to be used to score people on a daily basis. So it's constantly changing and analyzing everything that happens and every system that the company has to collect money to optimize their ability to recover.
I get it. So I guess if you're a deadbeat, the artificial intelligence will pick that up and say, well, maybe we should go after somebody first because this guy's a real deadbeat.
No, it's not deadbeat. It's a person that's financially challenged.
Well, no, sometimes it's people that are financially challenged, and I feel sorry for them. But if you're financially challenged, you should call the company up and try to make a deal. That's what I think,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Or you should call Dan and say, Dan, listen, I'm having a tough time paying my bills. I've gotten to some trouble financially. Would you help me out? And I think you're so much better off doing that than to just let them not pay them because you don't have the money and not tell them or not try to work something out.
They don't have a lot of people that actually call them. So they love it when somebody actually wants to try to resolve things. And many times they'll even help people out with a hardship situation where they'll give them 0 or 5% interest for 6 months just to make it easier for them to pay down their debt.
See, I'm not a credit coach, but I tell you something. I always learned in life it never fails. It never hurts. It doesn't always work. But it never hurts to tell someone the situation, and sometimes they will give you a break or they'll work with you, because if they don't work with you, then you look like a deadbeat. Okay, but if you call them up and you have a hardship, a legitimate hardship, it doesn't make them saying they're forgiving the debt, but they might work with you. If you call Dan, he might be able to help work with you to work some kind of payments, because as you said, right, all they care is that they get paid eventually.
Right.
So what does that mean, having the artificial intelligence? We have a few minutes left because the show ends early today, so I'm not going to be able to do what I plan to talk about. But what do you suggest people do when they don't have the money? And what does this mean to the average person that has credit that there's artificial intelligence?
Well, the artificial intelligence is not going to be put into the systems for your benefit. It's going to be put into the systems for your creditors' benefit. So this is starting with these collection agencies, but even the creditors will start to use, and the credit bureaus will start to use some of this artificial intelligence machine learning to enhance the algorithms that FICO scoring model uses. So they become more adaptive. You know, one of the things that most people don't realize about the FICO scoring model is that after a number of years, FICO has to rebuild the entire model because of changes in human behavior or changes in economic situations. And because of that, the way things are scored have more or less weight or more or less damage to your credit report based on how people respond to different things.
Thank you. Dan, listen, you're going to have to come back because we have 2 minutes left and I really have to get some of the interest rates in. But would you come back in a week or two and please finish up this conversation?
Anytime.
Because we really want to finish up. It's just that I didn't realize it was a short show today, so I didn't account for our time. And I didn't do all of our subjects that we were supposed to do. But, Ace, what are the rates, 30-year fixed?
Yeah, 30-year, it's right at 4.25. And I have to say, you know, I learned so much from Dan. He really is so knowledgeable when it comes to credit. So
credit before you can get a loan.
And you need credit before you get a loan. So.
Oh, okay. Now they told me it's 11:50. So I have really been off today.
Oh, wow.
So now I do have a few minutes.
So now it's 11:50.
Okay. Well, I told you I had the flu, so I guess I wasn't on my 100% game. But I tried. So you'll have to listen to us for a few more minutes. Anyhow, 30-year fix is about 4.25 and 15?
15 is right around
3.625. So that's really good. And as I said, if you really have any refinancing needs, you should do them now. Okay, I'm going to pick one quick subject because I don't think we have time to do much more than that, okay? And I really wanted to talk. We were going to talk about eminent domain, Jerry, last week, but I don't think we had time. And I don't know if we have time today. I was going to talk a little about, and I don't, okay, I think I have time. When you're negotiating, and again, everything in life is negotiating. I mean, you negotiate with your kids, you negotiate with your spouse, you probably negotiate with your business. Okay, here is what I think are some of the top negotiating mistakes. And by all means, we can continue this next week. And if you have some tips that you've used and they're successful, by all means, call us up. One, if you're selling a house, you shouldn't really talk too much in front of anybody, okay? Go see the house. If the homeowners are there, I think that you should just walk through. You might want to ask them some questions. But you don't have to talk too much. And if the seller's agent's there and you have a buyer and a seller's agent, which is not always the case, but if you do, I don't think you should be talking in the house. I think you should ask the questions you need to ask in the house. But that's something you should talk to your broker outside of the house. Would you agree, Jerry?
Yeah, I don't think it's an appropriate time to be discussing strategy and price, everything like that, when you're at the house. You know, you're there to view it. You can, you know, retreat back to, you know, privacy and then talk to your counselors about it later, you know, your brokers or whoever's advising you on price.
Right. Now, everyone will say to you, everyone asks me, okay, whenever they're buying a home, when they have to put an offer in, okay, what should I put in? What's the lowest they'll take? Now, legally, by law, we can't tell you that. But what I would tell you to do is whatever offer you're making, have your broker work with you so you could substantiate it, which means that if you make an offer that's going to be low, try to be able to defend it. Have comps. Ask the broker to show you comps. And maybe if they're not, maybe if your price is lower, you can show that they got this money, but they had it on the market 8 months. And here you're willing to take it off, you know, buy it, and you have a good down payment. I mean, you should always talk about the benefits to your offer first. So you should talk about the down payment you have if you have a decent down payment. And don't ask for everything all at once. You pick your battles. What's most important to you? If you want them to take a lower price than they want, don't try to make the down payment nothing also. Or if you want them to take, you know, try to say, well, look, we're offering you X, but we're going to give you a substantial down payment so that you know you're pretty much, you know, here's our credit report. And don't get into a pissing match with the seller, okay? Remember, I can't always guarantee this, but if a seller likes someone, and I've seen this happen, sometimes they'll give somebody the home for less money because
they
like them.
If they don't like you, they'll make it a hard, hard time for you.
Now, if they're desperate, then if they don't like you, that's the breaks. But if they have a choice and there's a couple that they see or people that they see that they think would, that they like, sometimes I've seen them take less money. I'm not saying they're going to give the house away, but they've taken less money. Now, there's some controversy, and I guess we can discuss this as a separate topic because I don't have time for it today. But there's controversy, and I'm not sure the right answer to you, on whether you present your best offer first or do you negotiate. And that's a topic that we can discuss because there's no right answer to that. I don't believe, but I'll tell you different circumstances and what I think. You should put your offer in writing. I see brokers never do that sometimes. It makes it look more serious if it's in writing with a down payment. I don't think we're going to have time to discuss this, but besides, first, should you put your best offer forward? And I think that in many cases, you should. Okay, I think that, you know, people, like I would say to people, like, I'm not going to mess around. I don't want to go back and forth and back and forth. We can do that. But there are certain cultures. Remember, if you're a seller, there are certain cultures that's a part of their culture to go back and forth and negotiate. So you kind of have to do that. Now, what if you're making a lowball offer and they refuse it? What's your next step? If somebody makes a lowball offer and then they refuse it, what's the next step? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about negotiating in depth in the next couple of weeks because I think negotiating skills are a plus, learning them, whether you're buying a home or not. They just work in life. I mean, if you see what the Democrats and the Republicans are doing, that's not negotiating. Okay, that's saying if you don't do this, I'm not taking the deal. And the other one's like, and if you don't do this, I'm not taking the deal. So I don't think that they really are showing how you really negotiate, because in negotiations, Jerry and Ace, what has to happen? Two people have to feel like they won.
They won, yeah.
Yeah, it can't be, you know, beat them down and make the other person feel bad about the negotiation. You know, they used to call it win-win negotiation. You know, the idea that there's something in it for everybody, and try to figure out what the other person can achieve to make them feel satisfied with the negotiation while still getting what you need too. And it can happen.
And while you're negotiating, don't forget what Ace told you in the beginning of the show. You are getting a great interest rate now. I don't expect them to go up too soon.
No.
Okay, we expect them to stay. But remember something. What you're getting today would have cost you a lot more a while ago. And the rates are good. And as far as the seller, you know what? If you take a little less, okay, you're going to end up buying, if you have to use a mortgage, probably for a little bit less. And I really think right now is a great time to buy. It's kind of a weird time in the real estate world across the country. It's not a buyer's. It's not a seller's market. It's kind of like a nothing. It's kind of just like a flat, kind of not exciting. You don't hear anything about it too much. It's kind of a quiet, I don't want to say quiet, it's good. We just made the biggest sale in history. We made a huge sale a day or two ago. But it's kind of one of those markets that if you really are shopping around and looking, you can really find some nice stuff out there at a great interest rate. And I don't want to tell you that if it was a percent or 2% higher, how much more would the payments be? There's so much, makes such a difference.
It does.
And if you're not looking, I want to give you one last bit of advice. If you're not looking for a home and you have refinanced your house or you bought it a while ago, please look at the interest rates, because you might be able to save a lot of money for a lot more years if you refinance. Again, it's got to be at least a point, and you can call Ace and he'll let you know whether it makes sense to do that or not. I think I refinanced something twice already. I have to check my
Yeah, you
mortgage.
Have to check yours, Dottie.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So we're going to do another closing,
you
know, with Dottie? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, another closing with Dottie.
Yeah. I don't know if I have it in me.
Jerry, you have to. I have other problems also.
I don't know if I have it in me. That last one was...
Yes, I know. And I still don't have COs. And I just want to tell you, never do what I did, because I said, Jerry, there's no COs. But they told me the day before I was closing. And...
they said, you know, they'll be done in a couple of months, right?
That yeah, was sort
of, but they wouldn't put it in writing. And, of course, it is now 10 years later. I still don't have them.
They're working on it, yeah.
But, you know, just like my house, it takes time. No, I knew it, and I knew I shouldn't do it. Okay, but I wanted to do it. I just decided, you know what, the heck, I'm just
going to What is going on with the renovation? Is it going to be done for this summer? Are you getting in
Well,
closer?
I called to go there a couple of weeks ago, and, of course, my floors were supposed to be done in September. And they said, oh, you can't come. And I said, why not? They said, well, we're doing your floors. And I'm like, well, that was supposed to be done in September. Okay. And my kitchen's not all in. Okay. And I call the company up. It's a very high-end company, but they're from Germany. So I don't have to tell you who they are. And
they did my kitchen. They're usually right on time, though. The Germans, they
made the girl that helped me design the kitchen did not have me there. And I was not there when they came up with everything, and they forgot to put a closet for brooms and for mops. And so I had to have new cabinets made. So some of the kitchen's done, and there's a few cabinets that had to be made afterwards. So they said March.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think anything else? I think they didn't finish. Yeah. And I have to tell you, I don't want to complain because, you know, you should only complain when there's a reason to complain. The complaint is that it's my fault. And it is totally my fault that I wasn't on them or I didn't hire somebody. I hired somebody who had a conflict because they were all things to me. So it's I don't blame anyone but me.
There are 50
At the end of the day, though,
buildings.
The most important thing is the house will look beautiful.
Yes.
It will. And your heirs will enjoy it very much.
Yes.
50-story apartment buildings in New York that were started after this renovation that have just opened. So I think it is time to finish the renovation.
I saw Joe Farrell,
who happens to be a very big builder in the Hamptons.
You should have hired him. He said,
why don't you take it me? And I said, well, I didn't know you did. I thought you only did new homes. He goes, no, I do renovations. And then I'm looking at his literature. He gets it done in 6 months. So,
oh, he does beautiful work, too. You should have gotten him. Well, too much.
I know. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of the cold because I think it's going to warm up this weekend. Or that's what somebody told me.
It is so cold. It is so cold.
But it's warmer today than it was. And
that doesn't say much. It's like 2 degrees.
I know. But listen, if you didn't have cold, you would never appreciate the warmth.
Yeah.
And who's going to win the Super Bowl, Ace?
The Ace's favorite team will win.
The Patriots.
I don't know the name of anyone playing on the Patriots.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Go Patriots.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl for those who are watching it. And we'll be back next week.
Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman is sponsored by Citizens Bank N.A.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.